A reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever. The peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights, look to the east and see your children, gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you. Because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.' Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough roads made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, if anybody is keeping track, sunset this evening is at 4:57. But there's better news. In a couple days, it'll be 4:56 p.m. Indeed, the days are getting shorter, and we feel it, don't we? I can't help but notice that the last week, which seems to be our annual rhythm, our pulse in this part of the world, in Cleveland especially. Right after Thanksgiving, you see a whole bunch of Christmas lights go on porches. You begin to see candles in windows. And I think very appropriately, as we approach these very dark times, where we just don't like darkness, do we? Not in the sense where it's very few hours of daylight, and the nights get to be very long. We need the psychology of lights. Last night, we were with some friends, Father Hollis and I, hosting a little dinner with some mutual friends of the Jewish faith. And of course, they are coming to the conclusion of Hanukkah, which is quite early this year in the cycle of their liturgical celebration. But as we sat with some other friends at the table, also included were two Catholics that actually were from Bethlehem, and they were in town. They're selling from the Land of Peace Ministry their wood carvings, and they happen to be at St. Pat's. And as we're having dinner and sharing fellowship, we have on our table a menorah and two of the four Advent candles lighted. It made for a beautiful centerpiece. And I couldn't help but think during the meal, as we're in the midst of our conversation and some delicious food, I made it. Ask them what they think. We'll leave it to them to tell the truth. But as I was listening and we were talking about some of our faith traditions and some of the special customs around this time of year, I couldn't help but, in light of today's readings, thinking about that light, that peace, that justice, that mercy, and making straight the pathway for the Lord. Our friends of the Jewish faith, they have a profound respect for the Catholic Church. They have truly found a spiritual home in the midst of many Catholic friends over the years. And one of their relatives, the lady's daughter, actually converted to Catholicism a number of years ago. And she's certainly a link between those two communities. Our ancestors of faith, who have a special distinctive relationship to us as we do to them. But as I was listening and thinking about all the scriptures that we hear, these images in this weekend's scriptures, I can't help but think, you know, how beautiful this idea of all of us being called to somehow make straight the pathway. And thinking about John, that last prophet, there hadn't been a prophet before him for about 100 years. And here he comes onto the scene, the last great prophet, to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. That bridge that brings that covenant to fulfillment, the old into the new. And especially as we understand the role of John, it wasn't going to be a nice, subtle, politically correct message. He called people out, like all prophets do, when they're not doing the business of the Lord, when they're not about the business of grace, and they're not living a life of virtue. That's what a prophet does. That's why they got paid the big bucks and why they were so popular, right? But the prophetic voice who cries out from the wilderness and calls us to make straight the pathway, this is the invitation that we hear today on the second Sunday of Advent. Even though days are growing darker and we see the festive lights starting to illumine our streets and our homes, we feel the warmth of an inside, a home that's welcoming, and yet knowing that there is the reality of cold streets and people who dwell on those streets, afflicted by the cold winter nights. Make straight the pathway of the Lord. We know that our faith informs us as we enter into that prophetic role today, that call for justice and that call for mercy, that call for authentic and genuine peace, that somehow our efforts, when it's done in faith and hope and in love, can fill valleys and raise mountains. As we continue to take seriously the words of the prophet, make straight the pathways of the Lord. And as we think about this time, this first half of Advent, and we think about the two comings of Christ as revealed to us, Christ who came to us in a very humble form in the city of Bethlehem, where two of our friends last night were actually from, and they shared with us their experiences, the birthplace of our Lord, who came into the world in such a sublime fashion, so subtle that the world found itself still sleeping, with the exception of those who would be called to play a special role in bringing forth this good news. The second coming we prepare for, we spend our entire life preparing for the second coming through our life of baptism, no longer just a baptism of repentance, but a baptism that calls us to die and to rise with Christ. And in our own life, preparing for that second coming when he returns in glory, where all things shall become fulfilled in him. Make straight the pathway of the Lord. What a beautiful time of year to look at those things in our own life that maybe prevent us from seeing the light or embracing that light, from experiencing the passion of that warmth that we're called to possess in our own hearts, not just in our homes. Maybe our hearts have grown cold or a little edgy or stone-like. Maybe not all of it, but parts of it, as we've tried to deal with the realities, pandemic, economy, political divisiveness, a lot of social unrest. It's very easy to grow cold, isn't it? And yet we realize that the warmth of our heart, that's what benefits others and helps them have hope. This is a season of hope because it is Christ who is our hope, who brings light, for he is that true light that shines in the darkness. What do we need to make straight in our own life during this holy season? As we prepare for the birth of our Lord, renewed in that great mystery, and as we prepare for his second coming. I know I got my list. It almost feels like a naughty and nice list, right? But knowing that the Lord is not preoccupied with us simply focusing on that which we find ourselves coming up short, he wants to be the solution. He wants to be the divine companion. He wants to be that grace that fills every valley where we find ourselves maybe fallen into. A Lord of hopefulness. As we're called to celebrate this season, we do so with hope and optimism. Not putting our heads in the sand, not just pretending that all is well, but trusting that all shall be well, because Christ, who is that light, the source of that warmth, the voice of hope, that source of hope, our salvation, he comes to renew not only us, but all people of goodwill. Wait for the Lord. Be ready when he comes. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Amen.